Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast with me, Alexander Bennett.
And me, Andy Barr.
And we play two clones in this podcast, don't we, Andy?
That's absolutely correct, Alexander. We do play two clones. We play two clones who've been alive for 24 hours.
And in those 24 hours, the clones have had the opportunity to learn about a few things. Well, three things specifically.
Yes. And then we ask special comedian guests to come on and explain more things to them using that limited frame of reference that they already have.
And we get into all sorts of scrapes during the process, don't we?
You bet. It's absolutely zany. Now, the three things that our clones understand this week are...
The Grinch.
In-flight service.
Panthers. There are podcasts that maintain that tone all the way through.
Yeah. God, I wish we were.
We were one of them.
I wish we were capable of it.
I'll tell you who's not capable of it.
Go on.
The Grinch.
The Grinch.
Andy.
Yes.
If you could pick any holiday to be the sort of... antagonist figure towards
Whitsun.
I don't even know what that is.
No, but I do know that the Houses of Parliament, I think, get a fortnight off for it.
Oh, really?
I think so. It's either a week or a fortnight.
Mm.
And I couldn't even fucking, you know, point to a month. It might be somewhere in the sort of Easter universe of holidays
of sort of slightly non-mainstream Christian holidays.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd be the Grinch of Whitsun.
Mm. And how would that manifest itself?
Oh, fuck knows.
You'd live in...
I'd take all of the children's Whitsun treats.
You'd live in the Elizabeth Tower and stop them all leaving for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I'd say get back in there. I'd stand at St. Stephen's Gate.
You've got a country to run.
With a gun. waving that around.
Get back in there. I care not for this holiday.
Yeah. You need to serve your constituents.
There's planes to be sent to Rwanda, my friends. Now get back in those hallowed halls.
Yeah. Mm. What would you Grinch?
I think I would Grinch. Is Mothering Sunday a holiday?
Oh, yeah. Mothering Sunday is a holiday. My mum will always...
I'd Grinch that up.
Yeah. Mm. Because there's two Mother's Days, aren't there? There's Mother's Day UK and Mother's Day US.
Yes, as anyone who's looked at their Google calendar on the wrong day of the year will have shat their pants seeing.
Yeah, my mum can't stand Mother's Day US. She's all about Mothering Sunday UK.
British mothers from British Mother's
Day. Yeah, you've got to have a degree of patriotism about these things.
Mm.
Can't have, you know, big... big Yankee moms coming over here.
Soccer moms.
Yeah.
Filling up the...
Getting high on the adulation of the British public?
No, thank you.
No.
No, thank you. There's one very special mother that we lost recently, and it's not for the Americans to grieve.
No.
Okay.
God rest her soul.
God rest her soul. Now send your stupid American mothers back where they came from.
Send them back.
Send
them back.
Stupid American mums.
Yeah. Like that one who aced that kid in the car, drink driving. Don't know whether she was drink driving. The CIA one. Horrible.
I'm not aware of the story that you're referring to.
She was driving recklessly, and yeah. she I think there was a kid on a moped or something. 17, I believe. Dead. Stone dead. Then she fled the country. I don't know if we got her extradited. Because she's CIA, like, it was tough.
But now, if I was...
But if I were, you know, if you were the Grinch of Mothering Sunday...
If I was the Mothering Sunday Grinch,
yeah.
I'd go, Madam, put away your CIA identification.
Yeah, and get out the car.
get out. Reverse the car first.
Yeah.
Let's have some decorum about this.
Yeah.
And then I would sing her a song about how I don't like Mothering Sunday.
Mm. And of course, if she were to be... extradited, she'd probably come on her plane.
Yeah.
And you'd hope that she'd be denied in-flight service. The second of today's three things.
I think there's more in the Grinch.
Right, okay. Well, just as long as you paste this absolutely expert link back in at the end.
sorry, just thinking in my head about how I might do that.
It's not going to be possible.
No, it's not. It's not going to possible. I should have left it where it is. Here's the thing about the Grinch.
Yeah, the one thing.
The one thing about the Grinch.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Well, he's the only...
Long have I wondered what the one singular thing about the Grinch is.
I think he's the
only... And lo,
he's the only
it approaches.
Fictional character where his job is also his race. Because there are no other Grinches in the Grinch.
No.
And
Grinching is his line of work.
It seems to be.
Yeah. I'm genuinely stumped. I'm trying to think. That probably is the thing about the Grinch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've hit upon it.
He really, you know... You'd have to call it a vocation.
Yeah. I mean, is it a vocation or is it a need? Sort of deep urge?
He lives in a rubbish pile, so right. He's actually probably not making any money off it.
No. So it's a compulsion.
Yeah.
It's something that he's driven.
A passion.
Yeah, driven to do without. Mm. You know, it's clearly quite damaging.
Well, it does teach us a lesson about...
Does it?
What Christmas means.
What does it mean?
Well, it's about people, Andy, and it's not about things.
Okay. Okay.
Are you familiar with the 2005 Ron Howard film of The Grinch?
Bits. I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting film.
Who's The Grinch in it?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yeah.
Who didn't, it seems, go... I would have liked to have seen a sort of... you know that documentary about how he went mad making the Andy Kaufman film?
Yeah.
That for the... Like, he was the Grinch in his life and was trying to get in people's chimneys and stuff.
It would be nice if Jim Carrey had gone mad again for a film.
That's some consistency. That's
been documented, yeah. It does seem like he maybe took his foot off the gas acting-wise after the going mad experience.
Yeah.
And perhaps he's been phoning it in since then.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say that The Grinch would have been... Because, you know, it's the first live-action version of The Grinch, and he could have really...
First of many.
He could have...
First of many. A real trendsetter. Really? Breaking that... breaking that down that wall that has been up for so long. People have said you can't, you cannot do a live adaptation of The Grinch.
But he broke through what the industry was calling the green ceiling.
Yeah,
and he got in a Grinch costume.
Yeah,
but that would have been a funnier circumstance for him to have a sort of psychological break.
Yes,
and fully believe that he was
a
Grinch.
Do you blame Jim Carrey for not having a funnier breakdown?
I blame Ron Howard for not, fostering,
whipping him.
For not fostering an environment in which he was, you know, because he was taking the role somewhat seriously. But
re-toxify our film studios.
Get better performances.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've all got horrible noses, the Who's.
Right.
Andy hasn't seen this film, so he was really worried about where I was going with that.
Oh, my goodness. Fucking hell.
That's a different podcast about Hollywood theories.
Yeah. Gary Oldman and Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
A 10-part investigation.
Has Gary Oldman been saying stuff about...
He thinks that they run everything.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, that was a, you know, maybe that was a one-off. I don't know, but he certainly was on record.
Okay, well, you disappoint me, Gary.
Mm.
But the Who's, as I call them, the Who's in the Grinch movie, they've all got horrible upturned noses,
right?
That sort of make the centre part of their face really static and make it's real horrible, uncanny valley thing,
right?
Apart from one of the Who's, who's played by Christine Baranski.
Right.
Who has a sort of naturally slightly upturned nose. Right.
Yeah.
But because her role is the sexy one.
Right.
Ron Howard just decided.
Well, we can't, you know.
She can have
She's got to be fuckable.
She can have a normal nose.
You can't. You can't give the sexy one a weird nose.
You can't do that.
No.
She can just be sexy.
Yeah.
That's how I remember the film, anyway.
Right, okay.
I've not bothered to look it up again.
No. It'd be funny if you had just misremembered that and it had some sort of weird sort of psychosexual thing going on.
Yeah.
with your memory of The Grinch 2005.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Mm. My sister is her biggest phobia is
The Grinch.
Yeah, from that film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, she's still not over it.
It sounds like if that's, you know, top tier of your problems, then everything's probably going all right for you.
I wouldn't say that's top tier of her problems.
I've got one problem in this life. And you know what? It doesn't often come up. The holidays are a little sketchy sometimes, but for the most part, as long as I just don't flip through terrestrial, I'm okay.
It's very important during therapy that you know that this is a safe environment where you can say anything. Now, could you explain to me what's brought you here today?
Oh, this is a riff. Oh, sorry, I didn't realise you were doing a... Doing a role play.
Some of our classic improv...
I tell you what
the one sentence you don't want to hear mid-improv is, oh, is this a riff?
Well, you know, you didn't make it. I thought you had a bit, but I thought you had a fully formed bit. I thought I didn't know that you were fucking, you know, serving it up and expecting me to ace it.
Yeah, to be honest, up until...
You came to the table with absolutely fuck all there.
up until the end of the sentence, I thought, I'm going to really smash the end of this. And I thought, oh, you know what? I think Andy would probably, you know, have a better spin on this. So I looked at you expectantly with hope in my eyes. And you paused and then went, oh, is this a riff?
Oh.
what you've just listened to there, folks, is two men fumbling the ball and then both their trousers fall down.
Oh. You don't get this at the Comedy Store, do you?
I'll tell you.
yeah, go on, tell me.
I'll tell you what you don't also don't get the is our second thing.
No, unless you're an international act who's been flown over to do a special set.
The second thing the clones know about is in-flight service.
Mm.
Any fond memories of being given things on planes, Andy?
I think when we went to America, we got free drinks.
Free drinks?
Yeah, I think so. That's good. So, yeah, that was nice. And if it be possible to change the parameters slightly, I got a first class train up to Edinburgh once, and that came with free drinks.
Yeah, I've had that as well.
That was nice. Good. Yeah. Not flight, obviously, but a mode of transport, which...
One of my beloved childhood toys was purchased on a plane, and my sister bought it for me. It was a little toy dog called Biscuits that I showed a fondness for, and my sister went, I'll get that for my little brother.
Yeah. That was last year as well, wasn't it?
Yes, which obviously is highly amusing because I'm 31 and my sister is 32 or 33 at this point.
Yeah. So she's not that much older than you.
She's about 18 months older than me.
Right. And she was buying you a toy on a plane.
Mm.
What an infantilized little twat you are.
Well, I think it actually speaks very highly to my sister's generosity.
Yeah,
I
think it can do both.
I think
it's one or the other.
You think it can both make her look good and me bad?
Yes, yeah, in one fell swoop.
the mere act of kindness.
Yeah, taking a bit of pocket money off your dear sister.
Yeah, I don't know if she actually stumped up the cash.
Right. This whole tissue of lies is falling apart.
I don't think she was massively cash rich at the age of 12.
No.
But, you know, she saw that I wanted it and she went, there you are, that's for you.
Yeah, that's very nice of her.
Hmm.
Well done.
And she's maintained that level of generosity since.
Great. She must hate going on a plane with you.
And every year I repay her.
Pointing to the watches or whatever you get. fucking duty free.
Paco Rabanne. Yeah. I'm absolutely doused in diesel and whatever that one Johnny Depp promotes.
Oh God, that advert's awful. He's in some sort of desert looking like a weird creep wandering around.
He
looks awful these days.
You know, he's lived a life, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
My sister, you know, covers me in dupe. Get all the peanuts and all the little G&Ts that I want when I'm in the air.
Fags. Waving your little hand at the 200 pack of B&H in there.
Fags, watches, fags. Baby. I get one of the aftershaves and I just maintain eye contact with her and spray it all into my mouth over the course of a 4-hour flight.
Attendant, may I switch seats? There's a grown-up baby behind me.
He appears to be crying because he's eaten all this aftershave.
You should have saved some for later.
I tell you who doesn't go on planes. Our third thing.
Panthers.
Yeah. A wild cat, Andy.
Are you realizing how little mileage there might be in this one now? A wild cat indeed.
Well, given that you are the cat lover between us.
Yeah.
I was rather hoping, you know, you'd be filled to the brim with thoughts and opinions about our dear friend the panther.
So I believe that the panther and the jaguar are the same thing.
Am
I wrong?
No, I seem to remember hearing that at some point. Yeah,
and a sort of black panther is just a sort of melanistic jaguar.
Hmm.
Two American football teams there. The Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hello, everyone. Alexander here. Just cutting in to say you're about to listen to a very short section, including Ed Knight, that has some audio interference. Don't worry, the audio interference is not present for the rest of the episode. Also, I'm here to say please buy tickets to my shows at the Soho Theatre on the 29th and 30th of April. It would be great to have some Born Yesterday listeners in those audiences, and the earlier you buy those tickets, the cheaper they are. So there should be a link in the description. Please buy tickets to see me at the Soho Theatre on the 29th and 30th of April.
We've been suddenly joined...
Yeah.
By Ed Knight.
What's up?
Ed, we have a very important question to ask you.
Yeah.
Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them?
Yeah. I think they're awesome.
Right. Awesome. What about them?
I'm a big cat guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are big cats.
Well, some of the biggest going. Yeah.
Like a match made in heaven.
And I used to really like them because the cat that my family had when I was growing up, that I sort of grew up with, was called Sheba, and she was a completely black cat, and she looked a bit like a panther, and so I liked panthers whenever I saw them on telly. Also, I like the Black Panthers, the American, you know, those guys over there, big fans of them. So, and everything about the cats is awesome, really.
Yeah.
Is that one over there? Can hear meowing in the corridor?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Brilliant.
I think that will probably come through on the recording.
Why do you ask?
No reason. What would you like to plug?
When will this go out?
This will go out towards the end of April.
May 7th, I've got a preview at the Bill Murray Comedy Club in London. And some more coming up to check my Instagram and Edinburgh Fringe Show. And if you like my podcast on this podcast, then you have to go and listen to my podcast, Slime Country.
So if you like Ed's podcast on this podcast,
go and listen to Slime Country podcast with other comedians, Huge Davies and Sunil Patel. And it's really, really good. And I think if you like podcasts, you should give it a go.
And then all three have... appeared on this podcast doing podcast, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, now that you've got all the pieces, you have to go and check it out.
Yeah.
Our other guest
is Derek Mitchell. Derek Scott Mitchell.
Derek can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and has a preview at The Divine in Stoke Newington on the 6th of May.
Yeah, so you can have a double bill, 6th, 7th.
Yeah, go to Derek on one day and then come to my show the next day.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay.
Nice intro, guys.
Yeah, I think we've absolutely rocked that one.
Why didn't we? We should have thought about the Chortle Awards.
Ed Knight and Derek Mitchell, thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
No problem.
Happy to do it.
Thanks. Greatly appreciated.
In the 24 hours that myself and Andy have been alive, we've come to learn something of the following three things.
The Grinch.
We are familiar with the concept of in-flight service.
And we are aware of panthers.
These things we have an understanding of.
I see.
Ed.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind... what you know of our knowledge base.
Panthers, in-flight service, and the Grinch.
That's it.
Yep, okay. That's the three.
In a minute, please explain to us who Icarus is. Your time starts now.
Well, you know, obviously you know about in-flight service.
Yep.
So you're probably aware of what Greece is because the flights go there.
What?
There's
What's Greece?
Greece is a country. It's got they're the ones.
What's a country?
Sort of like a big, like Whoville is like a town, but imagine a massive Whoville, and that's
okay.
That's Greece.
Full of guys making like souvlaki and stuff, and that's Greece. And you will know what a souvlaki is because they'll serve them on the planes on the way to Greece, and you know what in-flight service is. So imagine
you seem to think that our in-flight service knowledge is mainly Greece focused.
Yeah. No, but Greece is sort of a place, and planes go to places, so you'll know what a place is, surely.
We are familiar with the concept of in-flight service.
We understand being on a plane and getting a drink.
Yeah, exactly. But you have some knowledge that the reason you have to be served on the flight is because you're in between two
places.
What's
souvlaki and why are the Who's making it?
So basically, Icarus is this chap.
Your time is up.
Fuck Christ.
In a minute there, you've explained to us that Icarus is something to do with Greece.
Mm.
And Greece is where a large number of Who's make souvlaki.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever that is.
Thank you. Derek, in 1 minute, could you please explain to us who John Travolta is? Your time starts now.
You know, panthers.
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of feline and sensual, cool cats.
Sensual?
Yeah, the way that they move.
What's sensual?
It oozes kind of raw sex.
You're going to have to explain a lot of those concepts.
So when a panther has a baby, that's because it had sex with another panther.
What's a baby?
A baby is a young panther, fresh out of the womb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fresh out of the what?
Womb. So that's the part of the panther that the baby grows in.
Okay. And where is it on the panther?
It's in a female panther, kind of near its, between its breasts and vagina.
the panther that you're describing is slightly different to the one that I'm familiar with, but.
And so once that so that panther is...
Your time is up, thank you very much.
That's great.
Andy, would you like to explain to us what we've learned about who John Travolta is?
So something in the way that a panther moves inspires the creation of new, smaller panthers, which appear somewhere between
the breasts.
The panther's breasts and its legs, was it?
Vagina.
Vagina, that was
okay,
it.
We might,
and yeah.
Might explore what those things are.
John Travolta might know about that in some way.
He definitely does.
I'm excited to learn more about John Travolta as things go on.
Thank you, Derek.
Thanks.
Those are some people that we're learning about. Mm. We'd like to know something about some places, okay, if at all possible. Ed,
yeah.
In 2 minutes, can you please explain to us what a chicken coop is?
A chicken coop. that's your idea of a place, is it?
It's right. A place.
A chicken coop is
not necessarily our idea as part of it.
Imagine, you know, obviously what a panther is, and what.
Yeah. I mean, our perception of panthers has been slightly complicated.
It's expanding.
So imagine if when a panther had the baby out of its womb, instead of the baby being loose, it was in like a case called an egg, just like a small plane without any wings, right? When it breaks out of the egg and grows up, it has to live somewhere. So it has to live in the chicken coop. And the chicken coop is sort of a bit like, you know, in the Grinch film, the Jim Carrey one, where Cindy Lou Who goes in the back of the post office and nearly falls into that machine. There's that big wall full of presents,
yes,
each in like a little pigeonhole. Imagine if you took the pigeonhole off the wall, so it was like a pigeonhole with no back, so like a grill, and you made a box out of that on six sides, and you kept these baby panthers with wings inside it. That's basically a chicken coop. It's like a grill on every side, so it's like the pigeonholes from the Grinch film, but without a back and no presents inside. Oh, and you make a box out of that, and your chickens live there.
And the panthers are prevented from moving by this grill, are they?
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah, because the foxes will come along and eat the panthers at night if you don't.
What's a fox?
Fox is basically like an orange panther.
Does it make smaller panthers?
Does it have a sensual?
Yeah, they do them outside, right underneath my bedroom window. Every night they make the smaller panthers.
Do they ooze sexuality in the way that panthers do?
Absolutely.
Okay, and why would you do that?
Well, lots of people like to keep chickens for the companionship.
and very quickly, what's that?
Just like because it's nice to have a pet.
Your time is up. Thank you, Ed. You've explained to us there that a chicken coop is what happens if you take the pigeonholes from the Whoville post office and you install in them the smaller panthers.
Winged panthers.
You get from between a larger panther's breast and vagina.
Yeah, but it has to come out of an egg.
Yeah, and you do that for the companionship.
Yeah,
or the meat.
For friends.
Or the meat.
Or the meat, or the eggs.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed.
Derek, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us... what a petrol station is.
Yeah.
So starts now.
A petrol station is, you know, plane in-flight service.
Yeah.
Takes place in a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Big winged beasts.
Well, there's I got the sense that there's a type of plane that's an egg which doesn't have wings.
A helicopter. Yeah.
That's a new...
Yeah, that's a new concept for you.
A new concept. I was focusing on the egg from earlier. But there's, okay, so there's three types of plane.
Yeah.
One of them's an egg, one of them's a helicopter. What's the difference between an egg and a helicopter?
Yeah.
The helicopter has blades on the top.
They rotate
really quickly and it lifts up in the air.
So if you take the wings off a plane, that becomes an egg. But if you put blades on the top of it, then that's a helicopter, is that?
Yeah, correct? It's cooler.
Okay.
Yeah.
How?
What's cool?
Yeah.
Cool is swagger. So, like, a helicopter is an egg with swagger.
Is that anything like oozing sexuality?
Yeah.
Right.
Helicopter is the John Travolta of aircraft.
Yes, might be useful for building more context as to who John Travolta was, because in the run-up to understanding who John Travolta was, we learned that a small panther comes from between the breasts and vagina of a larger panther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's emerged.
It's emerged.
How does it now relate to John Travolta?
The petrol station?
The panther.
The panther.
Mm.
How does that relate to John Travolta?
Yeah.
Because it kind of, you can't see me right now, but it kind of is like, it's sultry, it's slinking around like
so
this.
So its movements are similar to those of John Travolta.
Yeah. And...
A petrol station.
A petrol station is actually a place.
Does John
where
Travolta?
You might see John Travolta,
do you get smaller John Travoltas from between John Travolta's breasts and vagina?
I mean, nowadays he does have breasts, but
your time is up. Thank you.
Yeah. a petrol station is somewhere that John Travolta, having possibly inspired the creation of some panthers or something like that. Once he's finished growing breasts, he goes to the petrol station and he smokes a cigarette. And that's a dedicated place for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Of course.
One area of human existence we're particularly interested in learning about is the world of art.
Art.
And creativity. Mm-hmm. Ed, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us the plot of the Back to the Future films? Your 3 minutes start now.
In 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen them, and I only saw the first one.
Right.
You know, I mentioned foxes earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, so this young lad called Michael J.
They make
J.
Little,
Fox.
Little foxes outside your window.
Is they do, but this one doesn't. He's in the pictures instead. And
does he have raw sexuality?
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Right, okay.
But he does ride a skateboard.
What's a skateboard?
It's like the shape of a wing of a plane, like a helicopter blade. But
if you're taking the wings off the plane, then you can make a skateboard out.
Imagine if you took the wings off the plane and you were sort of standing on top of it as it taxied. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyways, and that's a skateboard. Basically.
But if you took the wings off it, it'd be an egg.
Well, you've taken the wings, and the wings become the skateboard. You have now left an egg somewhere.
Yeah, so you take the middle of the plane out. You take the wheels and the wings, and that is a skateboard. Anyway,
the egg's just taxiing.
Yeah, with that can. Yeah, we don't need to worry about that for them because it's not in Back to the Future.
Concerned about it.
It's Back to the Future.
Tell us more about this fox.
So he goes. He lives in America.
What's that?
USA, America.
What's that?
A big country like Whoville. So he
do they make souvlaki there?
Yeah. Almost certainly. So he lives there, and I think they're actually having souvlaki for breakfast when he wakes up in Back to the Future 1. And Doc Brown, who's an evil old man, goes to his house.
What is evil?
It's evil.
Why is he evil?
It's like the opposite of like of something that's really nice, you know.
In-flight service.
Yeah, in-flight service is pretty evil because they charge you so much for the cigarettes and perfume. And also, in is it The Jungle Book? Isn't the panther evil in that? Yeah, he's pretty evil. So basically,
are all panthers
evil?
No, just the one in The Jungle Book.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, so in Back to the Future, the
scientist, what marks that one out as evil?
He sort of,
because we don't know anything about The Jungle Book.
He sort of wants to go after Mowgli, doesn't he? Yeah.
Who's
thank
that?
You.
Yeah.
He's like a little boy that lives in the jungle. The book's about him, and mainly the jungle. So in Back to the Future, Doc Brown goes around to Michael's house.
So going after Mowgli's evil.
He says, yeah, because he's a sweet little boy.
Right.
And he goes, listen, he says, Michael, we're going back to the future.
But there's other acts that can be considered evil, such as charging too much for cigarettes on it.
In Back to the Future, has Doc Brown already got Mowgli, and that's why he's moved on to Michael Fox?
No, but the Baloo-Mowgli relationship is very similar to Michael Fox and Doc Brown.
Who's Baloo?
He's sort of like the Dr. Brown of the jungle.
How?
He guides the little boy through a special adventure.
But he's evil.
He's not evil.
Oh. But you said he was like Doc Brown. Who's evil?
Doc Brown is...
He's an even old man.
I don't remember even saying that. I don't know what you guys are talking about. So
Your time's up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fuck's sake. Time always goes so quickly.
That's really good.
Back to the Future.
Yes.
What happens in Back to the Future is that an evil old man gets one of the foxes from underneath Ed's window.
Mm. Feeds him some souvlaki in the morning.
No sort of other action was described.
There's a skateboard, which is a wing of a plane.
There's a skateboard
with some wheels.
So they
on it.
Dismantle a plane to turn it into an egg, but I think it's mainly about Doc Brown being a sort of evil presence in a fox's life.
Yeah. Thanks.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Derek, in 3 minutes, could you please describe to us The Ace of Spades by Motorhead? The time starts now.
That is a song.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's a song?
A song is like a noise, you know, a noise like that a plane makes.
Okay. But, and that's a song.
But a song makes you, feel like John Travolta. A song makes you feel central.
Right.
Makes you want to move.
Is a song another precondition for the creation of a new panther?
It often is.
Right.
Or John Travolta. A glass of wine. Boom, 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 boom. Do you feel that? Have you ever felt music before?
No,
this is all new to us.
You guys are just dancing.
Something is happening.
You're moving. Sure. Your feet are tapping.
So the noise of an airplane might cause John Travolta to have another smaller John Travolta.
Could be.
Yeah.
A lot of people get in the mood when they hear a song. Especially, is
John Travolta capable of doing this just on his own, or does he need help?
I think at this point he can do it on his own. I think he's reached that layer of Scientology.
At will.
What's Scientology?
Scientology is it's like Whoville. Right. But
they make sort of lucky.
It's probably banned, honestly. I think most things are banned in there. So it's like Whoville, but not fun, not full of wonder.
Whoville, but not
fun, if you can imagine.
I'm struggling to.
Yeah. So it's Whoville, but Kirstie Alley is in there.
Who's Kirstie Alley? Yeah.
Now that is a panther-like woman who is on a sitcom called Cheers. She can move. She's dead now, but...
Can she still move?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Honestly, owing to Scientology, probably.
Right, so Scientology is something that enables you either to produce a new John Travolta within yourself at will, or to...
with airplane noise.
...continue to move after death.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Death is...
Death is no movement. Death is frozen.
So Scientology permits you to... escape the primary condition for death.
According to John Travolta, yeah.
Right.
It's very expensive. You have to pay a lot of money.
What's The Ace of Spades about?
The Ace of Spades is a song that I love. I listen to it every day.
Okay.
I wake up to it. I go to sleep to it. I fuck to it.
What happens in it, though?
It is...
Who made it?
The
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades. You mentioned it. Yeah,
Motorhead.
Motorhead.
But who are they?
They're a band.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What's that?
A band is a group of people with instruments who make that sound, that toe-tapping sound.
The sound of a plane.
That is Ace of Spades. Dun, 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 dun. Do you remember it?
Thank you, Derek.
No, I mean, we've never heard it.
We've heard a snippet now.
Well, we have, yeah. I mean, so it's that. It's a sort of dun, 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 but with a kind of plane noise underneath,
and that would inspire you to either make a smaller version of yourself or break free from the shackles of death.
Yeah. That's what I'm given to understand, anyway.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
We are aware that things happened before myself and Andy, so we'd like to learn some more about those things. Mm-hmm. In 2 minutes, Ed.
Yeah.
Could you please explain to us what happened with the 2023 implosion of the Titan submersible? Your 2 minutes start now.
Imagine if you know, in flight service.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, imagine if instead of being...
which is evil, as I remember, because of the price.
Yeah, imagine being, instead of peanuts...
Right.
It was an Xbox controller. And instead of being as long as a plane is, it's about a tenth of the length and very rapidly getting smaller.
Just to fill out our understanding, what's an Xbox controller?
Well, so it's just like something that the... So you know how the Grinch drove his sleigh with a dog? Imagine if the dog fit in his hands, and instead of by running, the sleigh flew by touching the dog's legs and nose in different ways. Anyway, you know how the Grinch's heart sort of grows three sizes and breaks barriers? Imagine that happening reverse.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
does the Xbox controller make this happen?
No.
Who's touching the dog to make this happen?
Given that the Grinch understands the meaning of Christmas to make his heart get bigger, what would he have to see for the reverse to happen?
Well,
he'd be rapidly losing his understanding of Christmas.
Losing his understanding of Christmas and what it means is really good. So it's basically imagine you've got six hoos or panthers or Grinches, whoever you like, are in a really small plane the size of the Grinch's sled underwater.
Has it got wings?
If only.
Thanks. Thanks.
Is that it?
Thank you. Yeah.
That's perfect.
What we've come to understand of the 2023 implosion of the Titan submersible is when a Grinch rapidly loses his understanding of what Christmas is, any who's contained within his heart would feel the effects of the sudden reduction in size.
Yeah, and this is a process that can be triggered by touching a dog in a certain way.
Yeah.
Derek, in 2 minutes, could you please tell us about the Spanish Armada sailing for England?
Yes.
Thank you. 2 minutes.
So, much like Greece is over with souvlaki.
Please don't touch the table.
You know what that is? Spanish. Spain.
Spain.
Spanish.
Yes.
Spain is like a Whoville with tortillas.
Right, okay. They make them there. And,
And what are tortillas? Because we didn't really get what souvlaki is, but what are tortillas?
Tortilla is...
Michael Fox has it for breakfast.
And... Yeah, tortilla is like an egg.
Right.
Right, so if you take the wings off,
in a pan.
Off a plane, then you've got an egg.
You smash that in a pan, then you fry it up.
Then it's a tortilla.
You turn it upside down and put potatoes on it.
That's a tortilla.
That's a tortilla.
Right.
Okay. So, Spain is a place where who's...
Eat tortillas.
Eat what was once a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smash planes open in pans.
And then they got angry.
So, do they have a lot of...
why did they get angry? What happened?
Let's say we have panthers.
Has it got anything to do with... Has it got anything to do with their Grinch?
The Grinch.
The Queen of England...
Who?
So the Queen of England was like the Grinch.
Right.
In what ways?
She didn't have a heart and she hated Spain.
Now, so is this...
And she was a virgin.
There's quite a lot of things I'd just like to put a pin in for a second. Mm-hmm. Why does the Grinch hate Spain?
Because he wants to be a part of it, but he's left out from childhood. He had a childhood trauma.
Right. Is it something to do with the tortillas?
Tortillas, yeah.
What was the Grinch's childhood trauma?
I think he was in school with all the other kids, and they said, you look fucked up. You're not part of Christmas. You're not part of our Christmas. You're not part of any Christmas.
Thank you.
We
your
know.
Time is up.
Okay. So, at some point in the past, the kids at school told the Queen of England that she was fucked up and she wasn't part of Christmas, and she was a virgin, key to understanding, and she hated the Spanish, who are sort of tortilla-making Who's.
Yeah.
And they got angry about this. And then something happened.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There are so many things to learn about. We'd like to understand some more. Ed.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us the concept of sexual role play? Your time starts now.
Sometimes you like it.
Here we go.
Makes your cock feel nice when your partner is dressed up as someone giving you in-flight service. Or in some people's cases, a panther or a fox. or a Grinch.
What's
Oh, here's a good one. So the Grinch gets his dog to role play as a reindeer. and that makes him happy because he gets to fly the sled. But instead of him being mentally happy, if he got his spouse to dress up to make him like bodily happy in an extreme way, then that's sexual role
what's
play.
What's an extreme way of being bodily happy?
Yeah, so basically
is it when your cock gets hard?
Yeah,
you haven't.
Basically, if you've got a cock then and it gets hard, or if you can have a wet pussy as well. there's just a couple of the many different ways that you can be sort of turned on and happy. And basically what happens is someone will get their partner, or you and your partner will dress up as like a flight attendant or a panther in a big costume, and you'll pretend.
Does it matter which one you are, or is there a particular reason?
No, it's your choice. It can be many different things. It can be like different jobs, different occupations or whatever, and then you and your partner will sort of pretend to be that job
as a
way of sort of delaying the gratification, but also perhaps expanding on it and amplifying it. So that's your sort of
if,
thing.
If the hardness of the cock or the wetness of the pussy is the end goal,
right?
Would you be, by dressing up as a flight attendant or some other job, would you be delaying the engorging of the cock or the moistening?
Some people do it to just like spice things up. Some people sometimes you need to do the action to make the little panther, but you can't get hard unless
John Travolta doesn't need to do this though.
No, John Travolta probably, because he can do it himself.
Well, John Travolta just needs to listen to an airplane taking
off. And he can divide like a cell. But other people can't get hard unless their spouse dresses up and pushes a little trolley next to them and tries to sell them peanuts.
And just to focus in on something, because your time was over a long time ago, but
I was hoping it was.
But I'm interested and I need to pursue that. So the Grinch receives sexual. The Grinch's cock goes hard when his dog wears a reindeer costume.
Yeah. But according to some things that I've read.
But I was under the understanding that him touching the dog was a way of controlling his sleigh. So does it perform both functions?
No, the latter, the Xbox controller. You have to separate it from the reindeer. And you just have to imagine that the dog is made by Microsoft out of plastic.
Take the dog's costume off.
Take the dog's costume off, and he then controls you can the submarine. That's got nothing to do with sex.
Okay. So that wouldn't move the needle for the Grinch as far as his cock's concerned.
Probably not. Right. And
put the reindeer costume on, and then
yeah.
But I mean, it's the
hard cut or wet Grinch pussy.
Yeah. The grussy is. Does that clarify things for you?
Yeah, it does.
Do you understand now?
I think so.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Thank you. Sexual role play is when you put a costume on your dog to either make your cock hard or stop that happening. or make your Grinch pussy wet.
Yeah. Okay. Derek, in 2 minutes, would you be able to tell us what meerkats are? Your time starts now.
Yeah, meerkats are little Grinches.
Little Grinches.
Yeah, they're little Grinches that live in burrows.
Okay.
Tunnels in the earth.
Oh, they're Grinches that live underground.
Yeah, and they live in big families.
You say they're little, how sort of compared to the Grinch?
Yeah.
The size of the Grinch's foot.
Right. Did they come from between the Grinch's breasts and vagina, if they're smaller versions of the Grinch?
I don't think that they're related to the Grinch, actually.
Right.
So they're sort of separate, simultaneous Grinches.
Yeah, I think
Grinches.
They've evolved separately in parallel.
Okay.
Over millions of years.
And
millions of years.
Yeah.
Would you care to speculate?
What does evolve mean?
Yeah.
Evolve is when an animal goes, like a panther. Right. So once upon a time, a panther was a lizard.
What's a lizard?
A lizard is a panther with scales instead of fur that eats bugs.
Okay.
Right.
And what happened?
Yeah.
I think just a lot of kind of storms and continents moving around, and then one panther, you know, does sexual role play with another animal that's not a lizard panther.
Dresses up their dog.
Yeah, then they give birth to a dog, and then that dog has sex with another then they start mixing over millions of years. And then before you know it, you have a meerkat.
So that was before we knew it. So it's lots of different things having sexual contact.
I think so.
So can does this need to take place over a very long period of time, or could you get a lizard, a panther, a dog together, get them all to engage in role play,
and quickly get a meerkat?
Yeah,
I think it has to take place over a long period of time. I think if you do it over a short period of time, that is criminal. I think that would be illegal.
Right, okay, but there's no authority to stop you from doing this over a very long time.
No, you could do that over a very long time.
Okay, at what point, speed-wise, does this act become criminal?
I think if we're any less, I think if we're talking in terms of days rather than years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So over.
So are you doing this?
I've only just heard
breeding,
about it.
Are you crossbreeding species?
We're interested to have more context because it's very interesting that the sort of criminal element, which I'm not sure we've got a full understanding of.
No,
but it's
like Doc Brown in Back to the Future.
So it's evil.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but there's a threshold for that, which is in
the speed at which you get different
animals
things
to
have sex with each other.
Yeah.
So you do it really slowly.
Yeah, then that's science.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So a meerkat is a little Grinch that is arrived at through the process of having lots of different animals, lizards, panthers, dogs.
John Travolta.
John Travolta to all have sex with each other.
Mm.
And then a little Grinch will emerge, and you had better hope that the Grinch doesn't emerge too quickly, because otherwise that's a criminal offence.
That's evil.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'd like to know more about human behaviour. Mm-hmm. Ed, could you please explain to us what we would be doing were we to enter into hostage negotiations? Your 2 minutes start now.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In the... So it's kind of hard to explain, but you know when you're on the...
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is, because you guys need to know.
We'd love to know.
Yeah, so basically sometimes when you're on the plane... Imagine instead of the pilot flying the plane.
Right.
Sometimes what happens is a very angry chap will get into the cockpit.
Why is the chap angry?
Many different reasons.
Has he been, have the kids in school told him that he
Maybe, he's fucked up and he can't be in Christmas. Maybe he's not allowed to see his kids or what. But the plane is just an example, right? Maybe he goes in the cockpit and he calls up the ground and he says, listen, we're not landing at Gatwick.
How does he call the ground?
The phone, the plane. So he calls them up and he goes, listen, we're not landing.
What's a phone? Who's they?
The big Carphone warehouse. sells them. So basically...
phones.
Yeah.
So what are phones?
Imagine if instead of controlling a submarine with the dog, you press it's like nine different sections of its tummy and you got to speak to the mayor of Whoville, even if you're really far away.
That's good.
Yeah, it's nice. So he calls them up and he says, listen...
So there's a dog in the cockpit.
He says, I'm taking them.
The man who isn't permitted to partake in Christmas.
Yeah, he calls up the Grinch.
Touches a dog.
He calls up the mayor of Whoville and says, you better give me $10 million or I'm not going to... these people are... Or he captures them up in the Grinch's house. He goes into the post office and he goes, listen, he puts like a gun or a knife up and he says, I'm going to hurt these people unless you give me a demand.
So this is a different scenario.
Same scenario. So it's kind of like... in-flight service, except instead of it's somebody here walking down the aisle with a trolley trying to have a transaction, which is to sell me a dinner or some perfume.
Right.
But instead
of that... evil.
Instead of that, they don't have a trolley, they have a loudhailer, and I have, instead of a brochure, their family's in immediate harm's way, and they're trying to say, oh, well, actually, instead of you buy something from me, I'll give you something so that you don't shoot my kids in the head.
Your time is up. Thank you, Ed. We've learned there that what you would be doing were you to enter into hostage negotiations. It's basically the same thing as in-flight service, except instead of... Instead of perfume and food, the thing that you're buying is your family not being hurt.
Yeah.
And we also gain some wider context where if you press a dog's underbelly, you can talk to the mayor of Whoville.
Yeah. And they have a dog for this purpose in the cockpit of every plane.
And everyone has one in their pocket these days.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just goes through to the mayor of Whoville.
You can call the mayor of Whoville. You can call anyone else that has one of those dogs. You can talk to them.
Okay, so a corresponding dog is required on the other.
Not a corresponding dog. You just have to punch the dog's stomach in the corresponding way that corresponds to the particular person's dog that you want to talk to.
Could you accidentally or deliberately contact the Grinch via his dog whilst the dog was dressed as a reindeer and therefore interrupt sexual roleplay?
No, because when people are doing that sort of thing, they tend to have their dogs on flight mode or silent mode.
How'd you put a dog on silent mode?
Lemon verbena is a fantastic soporific. So if you make some lemon verbena tea, give enough of it to your dog, he'll fall asleep. And that lets you sort of do your role play if you want. And the dog, no one will be able to call your dog because he's asleep.
So... The dog's asleep whilst the Grinch is engaging in role play.
You better believe it. No, wait, not the reindeer dog. Not the reindeer dog. I'm talking about his phone dog. Is this
right? He's got a separate dog.
The reindeer dog consents.
No, but I
absolutely. Right, yeah.
But the question I was asking is that can you accidentally ring the reindeer dog?
No.
Mid sexual role play. That's
we'll have to clear this up in the edit because I thought you were talking about two separate dogs here.
Don't understand what that is.
Right. I thought you were talking about two separate dogs. So what I mean, and I never said that the Grinch has sex with his dog.
I think that is what you said.
I said that the Grinch.
I think that is what you said.
It makes him happy when his dog dresses up as a reindeer,
because
he can fly the sleigh. And what I mean is,
you said that made his cock hard.
Dressing up in a different way might make his cock hard, is what I said, for his spouse, which is not a dog. And so you're not calling up his reindeer dog.
Who's the Grinch's spouse?
Mrs. Grinch.
Yeah.
So no, but I'm not talking. So yeah, I want you to know on the
thank
website.
You, Ed.
I don't mean that the dog is asleep. If
thank
it's
you, Ed.
I mean,
thank you, Ed. Your time's up.
Dog
thank you, Ed.
Fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fuck's sake.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Derek.
I'm like a kipper on this.
Whatever that is.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would be doing were we to test Olympic athletes for drugs? Your time starts now.
So you go down to Olympic Village.
Where's that?
It's really close to you, actually.
Is it like Whoville?
It's like Whoville.
What do they make there?
What do they think of the Spanish?
There are some Spanish there. There are some Greek. There's people from all over the world.
Right.
Yeah, come together to run around.
Okay. Do they bring...
right, so
they... And so you got to go down there because some of them are running faster than others because they've been taking different substances to make them run faster.
Okay.
And that's illegal. That's dark brown. That's against the rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taking the substances because...
Yeah.
Increasing their speed doesn't have an effect.
It gives them an unfair advantage in whatever thing they're doing, throwing things or running around or whatever.
Well, we've built an understanding that it's sort of speed and evil are very closely linked.
Yes.
I think that's true, actually. I think that's actually really profound.
Thank you.
I think that is deeply true, maybe, in our society and in our world.
But the different contexts have different speeds that are evil or not evil.
Yeah, so there's a threshold of speed where if a human can be that fast, everybody thinks it's amazing. Evil. But if you're just over that line, just slightly, a little bit too fast, people think you're evil. And so you got to go down there. You have to go in and be like, show us your gussy and pee in this cup.
Right, okay.
And we're going to put that into our machine.
Right.
And then we're going to see if there's stuff in it that's making you run faster.
Okay. So the way it goes is run fast, that's good. Run faster, that's great. Run really fast, that's even greater.
Yeah.
Run really, really fast, evil.
Yeah, bad. That is bad.
But is it only bad if they've had something to make them run that fast?
Yeah.
And what would make them run that fast?
Like drugs.
Cool. Thanks. So, yeah, if we were to test an Olympic athlete for drugs, we would have to go down to the Olympic Village, see which ones are running at an evil speed, and then we would have to ask them to unleash their gussy and provide a liquid to test.
Unleash.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Myself and Andy have use of the English language, but not a full understanding of it. Ed, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what I would mean were I to say to you, the world is your oyster? Your time starts now.
How long do I have for this one, sorry?
2 minutes.
Okay, so I might clarify that dog stuff right here. The world is your oyster is a saying.
Okay, Ed, you have 20 seconds to clarify the dog stuff, starting from now.
You misled me with the question. He's got two different dogs, and under no circumstances... It's the one that is the reindeer is happy about it as well.
Right.
But it's not a dog, it's his spouse. The dog is like a standard. But what I meant is, it's happy.
Your time is up. What's an oyster?
The dog dresses up.
What's an oyster?
And that makes him a smile.
What's an
oyster? But when his spouse dresses up, it makes his willy smile.
What's an oyster?
An oyster.
What's an oyster?
An oyster's like, it looks like the Grinch's mouth.
I'm so glad you said mouth.
Well, you obviously already know what the Grinch's mouth looks like.
Yeah.
And instead of...
He's got termites in his smile.
Yeah, but imagine if instead of mean phrases about the hooves inside there, it was a beautiful spherical jewel called the pearl.
Oh.
Instead of nasty phrases about the movie. And they...
How did that get in there?
I don't know. I think they sort of... they just make them on their tongues. Do you know what I mean? No. They're just sort of like it's like sediment and stuff that the oyster sort of filters for food, just sort of gets stuck, and I think it makes pearls.
But could the Grinch choose to, instead of making slurs about Whoville in his mouth, could he choose to make a pearl instead?
Pearls of wisdom. Yeah, by the end of the film, he's completely a changed man.
Your time is up. Thank you, Ed.
Okay. I think I've got everything pretty straight there.
That's good.
Clarified everything there.
We've come to understand that the world is your oyster means when, instead of disparaging the Who's, you instead choose to create a jewel.
Yeah.
A small jewel at the centre of your
mouth.
At the centre of your mouth. And there was something about whether or not dogs were awake.
Yeah. Thank you. Derek, could you please explain to us what one would mean one were one to say that something is a sight for sore eyes?
Mm.
Time starts now.
So a sight for sore eyes is what you say when your spouse, for example, comes home and you've had such a long day, you've had such a hard day.
Mrs. Grinch comes in.
Mm. Where's she been?
She's been out doing the shopping. She's been out at the post office. She's been doing all these things. And then she comes home and finds you with your dog.
Right.
And the dog does not look like it's having a good time.
Okay. And is it on flight mode or is it not on flight mode?
The dog is not on flight mode. Okay. The dog is loose. The dog is in the room. The dog is very in the room. The dog is in the room. The dog is responding to everything that's going on. The dog is picking up on signals. And then the dog turns to Mrs. Grinch and says, "You are a sight for sore eyes."
Is this the dog sort of articulating something that is getting on an incoming call? Or is it something the dog itself thinks?
Yeah, the dog is just, its mouth opens and the voice of somebody in the Titanic submersible says that.
Okay.
Why do they have opinions on this?
Because they love Mrs. Grinch. They can't get enough of Mrs. Grinch.
Okay.
She's voluptuous. She's a panther. She's got big panther titties. She's a jungle cat. She drops the milk immediately.
Okay. What's sore?
Sore is achy. It doesn't feel good. It hurts. Right. It's not pleasant. It's
and the return of Mrs. Grinch and her big panther titties. Is enough to relieve the condition of the soreness.
The soreness of, yeah. The,
right.
Yeah. The,
thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you.
So the inhabitants of the Titan submersible are big fans of Mrs. Grinch. And when she returns home to find Mr. Grinch engaging in role play with the dog, they make a call to the dog so that they can express to Mrs. Grinch how pleased they are that she has returned home with her big panther titties. And
we also got some useful context that I really appreciated about the well-being of the dog, which thank you, Derek, for providing that context.
It was in the room. It was in the room, and if anything, the fact that it was in the room sounds like part of the problem.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
Right.
Thank you, Andy's clan.
Thank you.
Andy, at the end of all that, who do you think has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
I would have to say that for you know, giving us that clarity at the end about the condition of the dog...
Hmm.
During the role play, I would have to say that Derek has provided the most satisfactory explanations.
Yeah, and likewise, I'm very relieved to hear from Derek that the dog is okay, because I really didn't think that information was coming.
That's crazy. I'm becoming the Alan Davies of this podcast.
Ed Knight, thank you very much indeed for
thanks for having me, boys.
Joining us. And Derek Mitchell, thank you.
Thank you so much for
having you.
Me. Oh my God!
Need Scientology.
Oh, not him too. Oh, no. After all that.
Well, I think
all that knowledge.
And after all that, we told them we didn't need to do that at all. But I think I suspect there'll be two new ones next week.
Yeah.
And these ones, these two were a bad batch.
They were bad eggs.
Very obtuse, these boys. Yeah. Upstarts. But still sad to see their brains all over the place like that.
Yeah, I just all over the walls. Is that a Persian rug? God, I think no getting that out of there.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.